B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
All right, final hour with Felger and Maz. As promised, right back to your phone calls. Day three of the Brady Watch and the coaching movement across the league as it relates to the Patriots. There has been movement. Your thoughts on all of it. James in the car, lead us off this hour.
Hey, guys, I was just talking about, I wanted to talk about the GMs that you had mentioned. This seems to me to be like a situation where the Celtics keeping the big three, and if you want to talk about one of the best general managers in Boston, and, you know, relationship to that was Harry Sinden, who traded Esposito for the hated Brad Park, Hodge for Middleton.
Hey, James, you got to... Yeah, what's your point?
The point is that there's the owner is paranoid about the fact that he just thinks he needs to keep Brady, and I don't think Belichick believes that. I think,
okay, I'm with you. I think Bill looks at it from a cold, hard football standpoint, and what's the smart thing to do in terms of turning the page and the roster and resetting the roster, and the owner thinks about PR. And I don't blame the owner for thinking about PR. It's a business. So he's going to lose advertising. He's never mind goodwill of some fans, et cetera, et cetera. So the owner has different concerns. The question is, does the owner step in like he did the last time and affect the decision?
Yeah, again, I mean, I don't rule it out. I told you, there's no way to predict what people will do when it comes to nut-cutting time. Or as I like, you know, I said yesterday, the moment of truth. And I include Brady in this, by the way. What happens with Brady when it comes time to decide, do I really want to go play in L.A.? And play for the Chargers, learn a new offense, and learn new teammates and do all that. Do I really want to do that, or will I stay with the Patriots again? Brady can say whatever he wants, and I don't doubt that he's telling Tony Romo and Chris Kasper and Bedard and whoever else that I want to go, I want to play, and I don't think it's going to be here. But when it comes time to put the pen to the paper, will he really do it?
Okay, I don't think he will. What I'm curious about is this. Does Bill want him back at any price?
See, I don't think so.
Does Bill want him back at any price?
I think at a price he would find respectable in his mind, maybe like $18 million. Yes.
Okay. So my number is 15, but I mean, because that's what I think Bill has in mind. That's would be my guess that, and I bet Bedard before that there's gonna be a pay cut for Brady if he comes back. But let's just say Brady will come back at a really reasonable price. Does Bill want to do that?
No.
So he comes back at a reasonable price, but that means he's still not showing up in the offseason.
Yeah, I think Bill wants to move on,
and he has all these new receivers. I know how I feel. I don't want that. You still have new receivers. You're going to have new coaches. He's taking a discount rate, so he's going to give you discount time during the offseason. And you're going to be in the same cycle you're in right now.
And, Maz, I get where you're coming from, that him wanting the challenge of working with a new quarterback, but he is still chasing that Shula wins record. And I think that means a lot to him, and he has a better chance to get those wins with Brady at a rate that he can find palatable.
But I also think that Belichick thinks he can win with Stidham. Again, he thought he could win with Castle. He thought he could win with Garoppolo. He's, you know, that's part of what makes him who he is. It's partly a flaw, but he's arrogant. I mean, he believes in his ability to coach it up. So I think he feels he can win with them. And I think he's, look, I'm just going by Belichick's history. And you know, the little whispers you hear that they like Stidham. Now, again, does that mean that Stidham's ready? That's a different question. But you look at Belichick's history, as soon as a player gives him any inkling that he has something at interest other than hardcore football winning, Bill moves on. Bye-bye, Gronk. I'm going to try to trade your ass. And he usually gets what he wants unless the owner steps in. I think Bill wants to move on.
Connor in Lexington, what do you think?
I've been thinking a lot about how this season transpired, and it really felt like the most unpatriot-like season for me. You know, you had scandals, if you want to call them scandals, and tons of ridiculous speculation surrounding Brady. But what confirmed it for me was that the fact that Nick Folk seemed like the best acquisition this season, and I just wanted to know what you guys thought about that, along with the future of Gostkowski.
Okay, we'll leave the kicker thing to the side. What I found unpatriot-like was the T-shirts and the nicknames and the I'm the Defensive Player of the Year stuff. That's usually not them.
I mean, that boogeyman thing, boy, did that blow up in their face. And I, you know, again, I wasn't here for it, so sorry for dwelling on it. The Miami game. You've got Miami pinned. It's over. 3 minutes, your defense is on the field. If Belichick drew up the game plan for that, he says, if we get Ryan Fitzpatrick against our defense, we're up 4. They got to go the length of the field and get a touchdown. we're good. I'll take my chances. And they let him go down the field and score? Like, wow. Talk about getting exposed, let alone in the Tennessee game where they get run on for 200 yards.
How about Stephon Gilmore just singularly? Yeah, I'm the defensive player of the year. Look at the film. You know, like a campaign for defensive player of the year. Then he gets shredded by Devontae Parker and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Purposely picking on him in that
picked
game.
Picked on.
Yeah, they torched him. He did. I thought they really got egg on their face.
So that was unpatriot-like to
that me. Revenge tour thing was great.
Yeah, no, it was a good call, Kyle.
I mean, the whole thing was about the defense this year. It was about the defense putting the offense in good positions. Then the offense puts the defense in a good position and they blow it.
We're going on a revenge tour. You know, implying they're going to be playing for the next month. I need to make it through the first game. Good job on that one. Kyle,
good deal on those T-shirts.
Here's Cam and Taunton. Hi, Cam.
Mike, look, I this is going to sound crazy. Yes, you are overconfident in Belichick. You said before the break that winning the division next year, no matter who the quarterback is.
That's correct. I stand by it.
Does that mean that you put a Dolfo in there and win the division? Mike, do you not realize the division? Do you not realize the division's on the come? Do you not realize that Sean McDermott had a team that missed the playoffs for 20 years and the playoffs for the last 2 years? Do you not realize that everybody thought Miami was going to go 0-16 and Flores had them go 5-4 down the stretch? Do you not realize that when Darnold was back to full health, the Jets played well down the stretch? The division is on the come. Mark this down. The Bills are winning the division next year. Mark it down. They are.
Okay, mark it down. Over under 9.5 wins next year with Jarrett Stidham as quarterback. Over under 9.5 wins.
Under.
Given their schedule, I think they go 9-7.
Over. Schedule is this.
Oh, they get tough QBs next year.
Ready? You guys ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Go.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready. Yeah, go, yeah.
Home Buffalo.
Win.
Home Miami.
Win.
Home Jets.
Win.
We're now 3-0. Home Cardinals.
Win.
Loss.
Win. Home Baltimore.
Loss.
4-1. Home Denver.
Loss.
Win. 5-1.
Sorry. At Denver would be a loss.
Home Denver. Win.
Okay, so stop. I can't say they're going to be 5-1, so I got them at 4-2.
Nope. We've already done it. Nope. Do not sully the integrity of this exercise.
Fine.
Home Raiders. Jared Stidham at quarterback.
Win.
6-1. Home Niners, Jared Stidham at quarterback, Murray.
Loss. That defense is awesome.
In fact, that might be a blowout.
6-2.
Get their asses kicked that week.
At Buffalo.
Loss.
6-3. At Miami.
Loss.
Win. 7-3.
No, you got overruled.
6-4. At Jets.
Loss.
Win. At Jets. Win. 7-4. At Houston.
Loss. They lost it
with Brady.
7-5. At KC.
Loss.
7-6. At LA Chargers.
Loss.
Brady beats them.
7-7. At Rams. Murray. At Rams.
Loss.
At Rams.
Yeah, they're not traveling.
You hate the Rams. You think Jared Goff's a bum.
Yeah, they still have Aaron Donald who's going to terrorize Jared
Stidham. You're not being intellectually consistent.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
They're not traveling 3,000 miles. That's a loss.
Win.
No. Hold on. They're only going to travel out there once. They'll stay out there for the week.
Bingo. Win. You
that
lose.
That defense is going to kill them.
You lost.
Win. They're just trying to help to win so you can get your stupid win total.
Win.
They're not going 0-2.
I'm right.
Win. I will not sit here for take bullying.
They're not going 0-2 in L.A.
At Seattle.
Loss.
8-8. According to you, geniuses, 8-8.
So I had them at 9-7, under.
10-6, over, win the division.
Under.
Okay.
I'm telling you, they got that. Ooh, what, boy, did they face tough quarterbacks next year.
So the schedule on paper looks tougher. But I just, you know, sitting here, I know what's going to happen. Or what's been happening. We'll see. We'll see if the era is really over. Because if the era still continues, Deshaun Watson's going to rip his knee. Pat Mahomes is going to have another issue. The Rams will completely crater. Just like the Falcons have cratered since their Super Bowl loss.
See, this doesn't make any sense. If you think it's over,
I don't think it's over. I don't think it's over. I think Brady Belichick is over. I think
so. That means like the era is over. No, things going in their way, and like with other teams acting stupid or things happening to benefit them. Also over as well.
I don't think so. I think Bill's going to win with Stidham next year. He's going to win with Stidham next year. Over 9.5, they're going to win the division.
9-7.
And some of these games that look tough right now aren't going to look so tough because someone's going to get hurt. Someone's going to do something stupid. Someone's going to crater when you didn't think about it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Tough quarterbacks on that schedule.
Tell you what, now that I've seen the Photoshop workup online, though, I need him on the Raiders. Brady in a Raiders uniform. That's what I want.
Oh, I got to see that.
Okay. Raiders at New England.
With Brady? That's a loss for the Pats.
Oh, would that be good, though? That would be so good.
Brady's with the Raiders in that game?
Oh, my God.
Oh, Raiders win that game. Okay.
Any game. So
Brady's not losing in Foxborough.
This is why I want Brady with Miami. And just as consolation prizes, I'll take him in Denver, the Raiders. They come here. They come here.
Yeah, but Bill knows how to beat them.
Okay, back to your thoughts right after this.
Boston's home for sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I know this is a disappointing evening for you, but Pats Nation, your fans, have stuck with you through thick and thin. Social media, they still love you. Do you have any message for the fans who are so supportive of you and the team?
Yeah, we appreciate our fans. I wouldn't say it's been all that thin around here personally. Maybe you feel differently, but I haven't heard too many fans say that, so... Yeah, of course we appreciate our fans. That's, you know, we have a great relationship with them. They're here for us, and we always try to perform our best so they can be proud of the way we perform.
I just play that again. Can you imagine the level of sensitivity? That's one thing. Bedard, I'm glad Bedard said it about, you know, maybe these guys could just get off Twitter a little bit and quit reading into every slight and trying to blah everybody on everything and just ignore the noise and play ball.
I mean, he did. He seized on that. The question was a cream puff question. It was an absolute freaking alley-oop. You know, how about your fans? What do you have to say to your fans, the ones who've been supportive of you? That's really what it's about. And he focused on the thick and thin. What do you mean thin? What are you talking about?
You've got to be kidding me. I didn't even know she said it. Right. No one even... It was... purely a cliche turn of phrase expression thrown into the middle of the question. And he seized on it. Well, what do you mean thin? I don't know what you... doesn't even make thin times around here. I don't know how you feel about it. It's like, Jesus, Bill. Like, but that's what the whole... That vaggy sort of fan experience that you guys have been at for a long time.
With, ooh, idiot, blah. That take didn't age well.
Like, that whole experience, which has just gotten so obnoxious and so boring, frankly. But it's how Patriots fans consume the thing. You hear what he said? Oh, this is what the whole experience has become. Oh, you know what they said about you? It's one thing for the fans and the baby media to do that. I feel like the team has become that.
Yeah, I think Bill's always been that way.
And Bill has always sort of been that way. I agree. But I think, like, so Bedard said this earlier, like, could you just ignore all that crap and worry about winning the game?
I mean, the locker room definitely deteriorated and dissolved into that.
Oh, my God.
Like, absolutely.
Get off Twitter, man. Like, God, just worry about the opponent. And that's, they've been so good at that over the years. And then, you know, like, selectively, if you need to get up for a game, and you want to put all the predictions up there, no one thinks you can do it, because legitimately no one thinks you can do it. That's one thing. But to, like, be rabbit-eared and react to any forcocked commenter on Twitter or some stray comment by a talk show host or whatever, like, good God. It's what the whole thing is devolved into. And it's like, all the fans that have stuck with you through thick and thin, you know, the support for you has just been amazing. Do you have any message for those fans? I don't know if it's been all that thin around here.
Seriously.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it is. It's such a...
it's gotten that sensitive?
Oh, it's such a dinky response. It is. It's such a dinky response.
God, lighten up. The whole experience. And again, the fans and the cartel media, like, I get that. That's the way that's going to be, I suppose. It doesn't have to be, but it's become the whole experience. But it's seeped into the locker room, and it permeates everything that they do.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, the other part of that question, when I heard it the first time, too, was like, and again, because I watched it when you did, too, you know, live, no, our fans are great. It's you that are the a-holes. That's what I like took it. Like, she's asking this question, and yeah, but you guys are the a-holes. It's not the fans.
Well, that's true. But that's true everywhere. That's the media. Like, just play ball. Bill in New Hampshire, back to the phones. Hi, Bill. What do you got on Josh McDaniels?
Hi, guys. I completely agree with what you said about earlier about the complication of the offense being a problem. And you know, I know he has other baggage, but I think it's hit Josh. You know, the fact that they couldn't seem to integrate the young players into the offense very easily. You know, if you're looking at the complication of what Josh is bringing versus what some of the other guys who have integrated, you know, Mahomes or other young quarterbacks, who would you go with as a coach?
Well, I mean, so that's why I don't think it's all Josh. It's Brady and Josh. I mean, if Josh McDaniels had a rookie quarterback, I'm pretty sure McDaniels would dial it back.
Yeah, he'd have to.
He'd have to. I mean, so maybe there'd be some growing pains or some fits and starts. And that's why I love the model of drafting the guy and sitting him for a year. Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, both basically sat through year one. I know Jackson came on at the end of his first year, but I think that's really important just to have the kid sit there and absorb it, so the coach is ready for as much as anything. But so anyway, but to answer your point, I think when it comes to the complication of the Patriots offense, it's more on Brady than Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, there's just a huge disconnect there between Brady and the receivers. There's just a huge disconnect that is now, it feels like, impossible to bridge anymore. So, like, I don't know how you overcome that unless Brady is willing to accept the reality that it's going to have to be elementary school again.
So, but again, that thing in the report where the executive said, I hear when it comes time to the meetings that someone goes with the other quarterbacks in one room and Brady goes by himself with Josh McDaniels in another room. That just doesn't feel that functional to me. Never mind, he doesn't show up in the offseason when they install all this stuff. Then he shows up, and he and Josh McDaniels are on this plane. Everyone else is on another. When they come time to meet, Brady goes alone with Josh over here. Everyone else goes over there.
It just makes it seem like a certain segment of the offense is always going to be behind in some way.
I mean, is it any wonder that they can't get on the same page? They're not even, according to this, in the same room.
I mean, not to mention the message it sends. Like, if you want to get into that part of it. Like, if you were the young guy and you say, I'm not in the same meeting as them, like, that is divisive.
So, and again, those are backup quarterbacks. I think it's a piece of the whole thing, though. Like, the offense, never mind getting better, they didn't get any more cohesive.
Yeah, but in this case, one of the backup quarterbacks was a fourth-round pick that might be the next guy. Like, don't you think it's important they're all in there together?
Yes, yes, yes. Mike in the 99. Yes, Mike in the 99.
Yeah, hey, so I think Brady's definitely leaving, and I think a big part of it is actually low-key the defense. Half those players are about to be UFAs, and a dark horse team that I got is a team in the NFC, crap division, great talent across the board. They have an aging quarterback who hasn't been able to get it done for years and just suffered a disappointing loss. Watch out for Breeze to retire and then to go after Brady. I could totally see that happening.
Okay. Do you feel any of this shuffling coming up with Breeze, Rodgers, Brady? They're all unrestricted free agents.
No.
Rivers, you mean, not Rodgers.
I mean, Rivers, I meant.
Oh,
I mean
so Rodgers. Rivers, no, Rodgers,
Derek,
no.
No, I'm sorry. Derek Rivers, thank you. Derek Rivers, Drew Philly. Breeze, and...
Yeah, potentially, yes.
I'll just stop talking.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, look, again, potentially, because I think Brady to L.A. is real. Philip Rivers, to me, is close to cooked. He can barely throw anymore, if you ask me. It's not quite Manning at the end, but I thought, I don't know how he won last year, let alone how he played this year.
Brady to the Saints.
I don't think so.
To the callers.
I don't think so.
I think they'll find a way to get it done with Breeze, and he goes back there. I wouldn't be shocked if Philip Rivers tried to end up or go into Carolina. Feels to me like Newton's going to be done there. That's where he played his college ball. You know, I would think he'd probably want to go back that area, make them competitive, get this new head coach. But I don't know. If Brady, the Chargers, I think, is still in play, maybe to Vegas, or just back here or retired.
I think Rivers wants to stay. Rivers
is out with the Chargers.
So he either retires, or how about him with Vegas?
That's a good one. Can I ask you something?
In that den of sin? I don't know if you'd want to play there.
That's a good point. Is Taysom Hill, how do you pronounce it? Taysom Hill. Is that the next guy in New Orleans?
I don't think so.
He's a freaking weapon.
He is, yeah.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
He annoys me.
But is he a quarterback?
No. No. He's exactly what they're using him as, which is a guy. What was the stat they had on him in that game? He's the first guy in league history or something to have 25 passing, rushing, and return yards in the same game or something?
Well, someone
or receiving.
I think it was Sean Payton. But someone was quoted as saying that we consider him our next Steve Young.
Oh, wow. Good luck with that.
I mean, I don't know.
No, I don't think he's that kind of player. I don't. I mean, if they said that, I'll take your word for it. I didn't see that
I
comment.
Feel like putting him out there like screws up their consistency on offense, too. And I know he had some big plays in that game. I hate gadget players, whether it's him, Cordell Stewart,
but he's the only
Antoine
one that works.
Randall L.
Oh, he's
but
he's
the hell out of me.
He's different. He's like, when they want to set a physical tone, that's the guy they use.
Yeah, he's more like a tight end almost.
He's physical as hell. He cracks people. He punishes people. And, like, when they want to be physical, that's when they bring in the gadget guy, which is not typically what they are, right, Murray? I mean, you're typically right about that. But this guy, he sets a tone. I don't know. I feel like he's the only guy that it works with when they bring him in. I feel like his play I think his success rate, I don't know. Maybe it's just what I see. Maybe it's just because I only watch the highlights. But I don't know. I've watched full Saints games. It's like when he comes in, they pick up the first down.
See, I thought he was a big zero until the second half of this season. And then all of a sudden it started to work. But up until that point, I thought, why are they taking Breeze out of the game and putting this guy in there?
It usually works.
Okay, now it is. But again, I think early in the year it wasn't working. Now, again, Bridgewater was the quarterback at times too, right? So maybe it's not as stark a contrast or something. Because I don't know. I have no idea what it is. But I was never a fan until the second half of this year.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts right after Murray's update. The latest across the NFL. Big coaching move today that impacts the Patriots here at Deep.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never not once.
Never not once.
Never not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Stop it.
So we haven't hit on this today. We'll just spend a minute on it. But I do want to ask Mads. Are the Red Sox in trouble with this cheating allegation?
I think there's a real chance here that they get absolutely pounded on this one. Pounded. And the latest allegation is that they used in 2018, which was obviously the World Series year, they used video replay equipment to steal signs, peer in on catcher's signals, relay what they were to players, and then the players, when they were on base, were able to relay them to the hitters without even seeing them.
So it wasn't like the Houston thing where they were banging on something. They just... Here's the sign sequence, and when they got on base, they knew what was coming.
Right, exactly. They were able to decipher them, is what I'm saying. I shouldn't have said they didn't even have to see them. They were able to decipher them because they were already deciphered. So, given the use of electronic equipment, the real problem here for the Red Sox is that they got busted in 2017 with the Apple Watches. And at that time, and this is in most of the stories that have been written today, the future violations, MLB said, at that time in 2017... future violations could result in greater discipline. Okay. And then they issued another statement today saying, we said at the time that if this happened again, we were going to pop you. Okay. We were going to pop you. And at the time, they only got an undisclosed financial, fine. If this comes out true, and it's going to, because we know they did it. Of course they did it. For crying out loud, Cora was in there in Houston 2017 when they were beating on the trash cans. Then he comes here and they're stealing signs another way. And meanwhile, the Red Sox had already had a prior. I think they're going to get drilled in this. Now, what does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I don't know. But my guess would be...
because Cora wasn't responsible for the Apple Watch thing in 17.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, but he was part of that 2017 World Series Astros team.
It's not a Cora story, it's a Red Sox story.
Right, exactly. The Red Sox specifically were warned about violating rules, and then they did the next year. This sounds familiar.
Correct.
But anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so I think they're going to get absolutely lambasted.
But what does that mean?
Okay, so to me, the two most obvious areas in which you can hit a team, or maybe it's three, are draft money, international signing money, and draft picks. Okay, those three. The fine to the organization does nothing, just like it did nothing with the Patriots. But the ability to go get players, that will hurt.
Cora should get whacked. It's, I mean, he should be suspended a portion of the season. I believe he was part of the, what happened with the Astros in 2017. A year later, he becomes the first-time manager of this team. They win 108 games with the asterisk on it and win the title, which now gets an asterisk on it because they were cheating to get that, too.
So you know what? As Murray says it, I wouldn't rule that out.
What, they're going to put an asterisk on the thing?
No. I wouldn't rule out Cora getting hammered. Forget the
I'd like
asterisk.
That.
Do you honestly believe there belongs an asterisk on the championship?
Yeah. That's part of the Blanami back to you people who are like, oh, you guys are going to put it on the 108 wins? Yeah, we did. And now he put it on the title because you cheated to get that.
Murray, I'll tell you what, if you're going to put it on then, you better put it on 2004 because that team was loaded on juice.
Well, don't start on the Patriots.
I liked that team, so no.
You run out of ink for the asterisks for the Patriots if we're going to be doing this.
But I'll tell you what, he raises a good point about Cora. That's the part I was agreeing with.
Okay.
That if you look at it, Cora singularly, well, you were in Houston and you were part of that. Then you came to Boston and you did it again. So, like, Cora, in a separate way, is also a repeat offender. So now, I don't know if the league will come down on him or not, but I think they have the right to. I think the Red Sox are going to get drilled in this thing.
Okay, we'll see how it plays out. Just thought we'd give that a minute. We will wrap it up with your wonderful phone calls. Thanks for hanging on, everybody. My buddy Rocco's in Saugus. Go, Rocco.
Hey, Mikey, it's me, your buddy Rocco, man. I got a new phone. Can you hear me better?
That's average, still average.
Ah, you suck, man. But listen, all right. I want to talk about the Patriots, right? Oh, yeah, I've been calling you about the defense was weak, suspect, you know, overrated. You guys, you know, basically laughed at me and look at where I'm at now. You know what I mean? I told you this team was weak. And the last, you know, five games since the Kansas City, the coaching was really bad from Belichick all the way down to all of his little assistants, man. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Okay, babe. The problem is they were kind of weak last year. And they figured it out, got the bye, huge. Got a good schedule with the West Coast team having to go East Coast, West Coast, East Coast, what that sort of thing. Won a coin flip, and the next thing you know, they're in the Super Bowl, where Bill downloads all this intel from the... And so it just works out, right? I thought there was a chance it would happen again this year, just like that.
Well, sure.
I mean, you never heard me say they were a great team. To begin the year, I thought they could have been a great team. I thought some of these things would work out on offense. Even when it became apparent to me that it wasn't going to work out on offense, I wasn't signing Murray's declaration until that Miami loss.
You were firm but fair, though. Once after that Kansas City loss, even though you wouldn't sign it, and I wanted you both to sign it then, you said you had given up on the offense. The
offense was done. And then they go out that next week against Buffalo and look great.
Oh, they did. They looked awesome in that game.
So I'm like, did I cave too early? And then Miami came and this came. So it turns out I didn't. If they had beaten Miami... You're still on the... We're still playing.
That was the one.
Okay? Right now, you are sitting here waiting for Kansas City, providing Kansas City to choke in the wild card.
Right.
I mean, the difference of the bye or not, do you understand?
Massive. Massive.
How it makes all the difference in the world.
Oh, it's everything.
If you had just stopped Miami on that last stupid drive, we're still sitting here. They're still in it. You're sitting at home waiting for Kansas City, who may have won last weekend on Wild Card Weekend or not. But either way, they would have played last weekend. Now they're traveling here. And I'm sorry, with all your flaws and all your problems, you've got a real shot in that game. Maybe you're even favored in that game.
The Miami game was the one.
And now you slip by them, and now you're in the AFC title game, and it's one shot, winner take all to go to the Super Bowl. Maybe that's where it ends. But either way, it's a run. You're there. You're knocking at the door. All you had to do was take care of freaking Miami, and you couldn't. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, the Miami game was the one. That was the one that really, it did all the damage. I mean, that was the one that absolutely killed you, and they knew it.
I mean,
they knew it.
God, the bye is such an advantage. I know why Perillo and guys like this now say they don't want it. Like, I just think of the Packers on the other side. If you, this week's game, Seattle at Green Bay, if you flip the two teams, in other words, if, and I think they're only a game apart in the standings.
Yeah. Green Bay is going to Seattle.
If Green Bay had to travel to Philly, win in Philly, fly back to Green Bay, 6 days later, fly to Seattle, who's been sitting there off for 2 weeks watching everybody, the Packers would get waxed if they even got there.
No shot.
No shot. I give them no shot in that scenario. Sitting at home for 2 weeks, not having to play last week, Seattle now has to fly all the way to Philly, then all the way back to Seattle, and then all the way to Green Bay on Sunday where it may be snowing and 23 degrees. Have a chance.
Huge difference.
Changes the whole thing.
Yeah, it is. It's a massive difference. But look, to get back to the Patriots and your point of like, well, last year it came together for them. The only thing I would say is last year there was at least something that he did well and their line was healthy. That they could line up pretty much against anybody and gain 4 yards. Really. And if it was Kansas City, they could get 6. Okay, so like they could do, this year they didn't have that. There really was the breakdown of that line was I think undermined the whole thing. Really, to me, that was at the core of it.
John in Foxborough, hi, what do you got?
Hey, listen, I'll make this quick. Two quick comments. I'll let you comment on them. I was just out in L.A. People were asking me more about TB12 than anything else about the Patriots and Tom Brady. The other thing, Maz, I got to give you a compliment. 2 weeks ago, you were yelling, spitting. You had sweat on that expanding forehead about the Patriots receivers. You were absolutely right. I would like to have $20 for every yard that rookie receivers made for other teams this week, and the Patriots aren't doing it. Thank you.
Okay. Did they pick the wrong guys, or is the age and, you know, the age and the level of Brady and the young guys just not conducive? Like
I know what you mean.
I said that so horribly.
Yeah, or is the communication gap between the quarterback and the receivers, is it that or is it the ability of the receivers?
Is Brady so far ahead in the thing that he just can't get on the same page with young or new guys? It's just impossible because he's speaking a different language. Is that one of the reasons you have to reset the thing?
Yes. Yes, it is. There's a disconnect there. Massive. We're talking about a chasm between Brady and the young guys. So, you know, we use that expression all the time. One guy's playing chess, the other's playing checkers. Those guys are playing tic-tac-toe.
So I know how Bill feels about it. Yeah, we'll draft the guy. He can play, but is Brady going to throw to him?
I'm telling you.
I mean, we can go sign this guy, but Brady's going to get him in here. The first week, he's going to run the wrong route, and he's going to shut him out.
Yeah, that plays a factor, but talent still matters more than anything else, I think, at that position. Why was Antonio Brown immediately able to come in and those two had some sort of, like, symbiotic relationship?
You know, but even that, I'm not sure that was as great at the beginning as everyone thought it was.
Well, Brady was thrilled.
Yeah, Brady was, but then, I think it had more to do with the fact that Antonio Brown's ability.
I think Brady's become a snob, you know. Oh, you're a star? Oh, you're Antonio Brown? All right, I'll give you an extra chance. I'll give, because I'm with Mass. I don't know if Antonio Brown ran all the right routes to begin with.
I mean, that first Miami game, it wasn't great. I mean, it was okay.
Tom Brady has zero use for the Jacoby Myers of the world, and maybe Myers sucks and doesn't deserve it. I'm just telling you, even if Jacoby Myers did deserve it, Brady wouldn't give him the time of day.
Look, of all the stuff we've talked about in this story and that we're going to continue to talk about, the one thing I think I believe more strongly than ever is if you gave Bill Belichick truth serum and you didn't publicize it or put it on the record or anything else, and you said to him, do you want Tom Brady back? He would say no. I really believe that. I think that it's reached the point where Bill looks at Brady and says, this is just not working anymore. Just the same way he looked at Gronk and said, I'm going to trade your ass to Detroit.
Greg in Newport, final word, quickly. Gregory, okay, babe, snooze, you lose. We'll give it to Dan on Cape Cod. He'll be our final word. Hi, Dan, you're on the air.
What's up, fellas?
What do you got?
I'm asking about this as a conspiracy theory right now with Gronk and the whole Miami thing right now. I'm thinking right now that Brady knew he was going to go to Miami. That's why he's having this big thing in Miami. What do you think?
Oh, nothing to do with the party. That's just where the Super Bowl is. If the Super Bowl were in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Gronk would be doing his beach party in Albuquerque, New Mexico. But Gronk returning and playing with Brady, wherever Brady ends up, I put that on the table.
Sure, the Patriots have to make a trade, right?
They have to be a trade.
But you know what? Given the way they've drafted, I'd do it if I were them.
Sure.
I know. I would. I would take a pick for Gronk.
Final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz.
on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody. Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, making his usual Tuesday appearance. And he'll be in one more time next week, right? At least.
See him at Super Bowl
boy.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, the Patriots
B-O-I,
are up.
B-O-I, big boy.
Bedard is still in. That means we did the 10-question segment. Here it is, condensed, put together by Hardy.
Brady.
Should the league have reversed the Kyle Rudolph touchdown in New Orleans for offensive pass interference?
Hell no. That play was fine. It was a poster child for, let's slow everything down so everything looks like a penalty. It was fine.
Bills had a touchdown wiped off the board. Did they get the call right?
I suppose they didn't, but they did.
Was the Clowney hit on Wentz dirty?
Didn't we miss a question there? I think we went from 10 to 8.
Nope. We're on 8. Just answer the question, Maz.
Okay. Yes. That's it.
Number 7, Maz. Do you like Mike McCarthy to Dallas?
Go ahead, Greg.
I think it's a good...
I don't hate it.
Did Kirk Cousins end the questions over his big game problems?
I think he might have.
No!
That was one ballsy-ass game.
Please.
Ballsy.
Yeah, you wrote a column on the Saints, Greg.
I did that. For Vegas. I wrote a column off the Saints
law. Oh, good for you. And how was it?
What favorite is most in trouble this weekend?
Packers. Just because I think it's that, like, bad juju.
What team would disappoint you the most if they lost this weekend? In other words, what team do you most want to watch over the next month?
No question. Ravens. They're, yeah. Sort of like, I mean, they're fun, you know. Yeah.
Now what do I do?
Whatever.
Yeah, I like it sped up like that. Makes it sound even stupider.
Yeah, no. And it, obviously, Bedard gets through it much more quickly.
All right, he needs it. Meanwhile, here comes the sports buzzard with another abbreviated show. What sort of damage are you going to do in your hour tonight?
Well, we have 90 whole minutes.
Oh, 90
actually.
Minutes. I'm sorry, 90.
Yeah. Taking you up to the Bruins and someone or other. What's up with this town where now... how many cheating scandals are we going to have in all seriousness? Like what is up with this town?
Well, no, that's
just
big...
is it high expectations? Do we put too much pressure on them? Do the fans put too much pressure on them? Like what is up with all these cheating scandals with this team?
Headlines,
these teams.
Sign stealing controversy broadened. Sources say blank used video replay room illegally in 2018. Upset of the day is that it's not Patriots. It's like that. I saw that headline. I'm like, oh, here we go. Oh, Red Sox. Oh,
yeah. Right after their Apple Watch scandal, which is after, you know, all of baseball had their big scandal with the Astros. Never mind the Patriots with all their scandals.
And never mind the fact the Red Sox had a pedo in the clubhouse, too.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole different animal.
That, too. But, yeah, I'd say Celtics and Bruins, let's get with it. Let's start spying on other teams. Let's pick up the pace a little bit here, guys.
Exactly.
You got to keep pace with the Patriots and the Red Sox is what you got to do.
It's got to be a book in there somewhere.
So that's what you're starting with? Boston.
No. We'll get to that. We're going to start with Joe Judge. Joe Judge, for some reason, because he had such a great year, being the next coach of the New York Giants. And I really don't get why anybody would hire anyone from Bill's coaching tree, though. In fairness, Arcan pointed this out last night. Bill O'Brien won a playoff game. Yay. Mike Vrabel won a playoff game. We can debate whether
or not.
Not
in the tree, though.
Yeah, whether or not he's actually part of the tree or not.
He's not.
So, I don't get why anybody would hire any of those guys.
That's coming up after the update. There's no commercials here. Quickly, Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub, and the Bruins present Pucks and Paddles Friday, January 17th at Royale, the annual ping pong tournament that benefits Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. Bid to play with your favorite Bruins player or Toucher or Rich. To bid, go to 98.5thesportshub.com. Pucks and Paddles is presented by Coors Light and sponsored by Honda, ACP Facility Services, and Clear Path for Veterans of New England. Also, we have this special announcement.
Ooh, what?
Didn't you ask me to?
I forgot about that.
That was perfect.
Sorry, I forgot about that. I thought you meant there was a show announcement.
No, far more important.
No, I would like to wish a happy birthday to my wife. Today is...
This is so good. But before this segment, Matt said, would you give me a second at the end of the show to wish my wife a happy birthday? I forgot to say it to her this morning. So now we get to this segment. I'm like, okay, Maz, now it's time for your announcement. And you're like, huh? What?
You forgot again.
Forgot again, like 7 minutes ago.
What are you talking about? No, I would like to wish a happy birthday to my wife. She's one of the more patient and understanding people on the planet, and this is going to prove it.
As this as we've just been proven again. All right, happy birthday, Natalie. We will be back at it tomorrow at 2 p.m. Perillo, sunshine.com joins us as well. We'll pick it up then. Bye, Maz.
I really do have the attention of a fruit fly. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.